بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته everyone. Welcome to another Sunday session. What are the Sunday sessions, I hear you ask? The Sunday sessions are our time to come together as sisters, as writers, to get the motivation that we need to achieve the goals that we've set for ourselves in the week ahead. So some of you are working on your nonfiction books. Some of you are working on your children's books. Some of you have just started the planning process. Some of you are in the editing and launching process. Some of you are just listening to this for the first time because you have a dream, you have a vision, you have a calling, right? So regardless of where you are on your writing journey, the Sunday sessions are for you. My goal is for these sessions to be a shot of adrenaline, okay, to push you forward, to give you that oomph that you need. And alhamdulillah, we are blessed to have the company of some wonderful sisters over the coming weeks, months, inshallah, years, to inspire us and to give us even more motivation for us to achieve our book dreams, bi'idhnillah. So today, we're as the series, as you know, is traits of successful writers. And trust and believe, we will be talking about traits of successful writers for the rest of the year, okay, because there are literally that many. But I want to start off today talking about intention. Now, if you're in the programs with me, you know that we always start with intention. We start with the deeper meaning of what we are doing and the higher purpose. We start with why. Every one of you should be on a regular basis asking yourself, why am I doing this? And finding the answer, okay? Not the mean girl, why am I doing this? Like, oh, why am I doing this? No. An honest and sincere evaluation. Why am I doing this again? What is my intention? What is the deeper meaning of this work? And what is my higher purpose in this project? Reconnecting to that, getting clear about that, putting energy and focus and thought into that, and making dua through that. Because as I've told you guys before, and as you know, we make the effort. The results are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do our thing sincerely, and Allah makes whatever He wills happen. And with that, I want to welcome the first guest of the series, somebody, mashallah, who I'm sure you are all familiar with, and who I have known for a very, very long time, a sister, friend, colleague, all of the things, mashallah. But for our purposes here today, she is the author of a book that became the book of the month, really, this Ramadan, mashallah. The book was published, well, the book came about in a very unusual way, mashallah, in a very miraculous way, mashallah. And I'm hoping that our sister Alia Umrayan will tell us all about it, how the book came to be, and the power of intention and intentionality on her journey. Alia Umrayan, please welcome to our stage. Welcome, welcome to our space. Assalamu alaikum. Oh, please, just unmute, inshallah.
Apologies. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. It's lovely to be here, mashallah. I was listening to you and I was applying what you were saying to my own writing, and the importance of continuously renewing your intention as you go along. Right at the beginning, that's obviously very important, but it's important to continue it even after you've written your book, even after it's been published. So jazakallah khair for the reminder. Alhamdulillah.
Absolutely, mashallah. So have you got a copy of your book? For those who haven't seen it, it's Ramadan Reflections. Tell us. Okay, so just so those of you who were sleeping this Ramadan and you weren't paying attention, mashallah, Ramadan Reflections was published by Penguin. It came out just before Ramadan. It became a Sunday Times bestseller. So many people commented and actually came back to me about the impact of this book in their Ramadan and just in their lives, mashallah, tabarakallah. But Aliyah, you didn't think this book could be possible. You didn't think this could be done. Tell us about the book journey. We want to know from the beginning of this.
Oh gosh, well, I'll have to take you back. Okay, so I run a charity called Solace, which we support revert women who find themselves in difficulty. And that takes up a lot of my time. And I'm also a mother of four children, mashallah. So I'm quite a busy person. And I've always wanted to write a book. And in fact, Naima over the years has said to me, "No, you need to write a book. You need to write a book. When are you going to write a book? You need to write a book." And it's always been an intention. I've always intended to. I've always wanted to. I've made du'a about it for a very, very long time. But it was actually Ramadan 2022 where I really took that intention and lifted it up to Allah in a way that I hadn't done before. So I made a lot of du'a about it. It was at the forefront of my mind. I felt drawn towards actually putting pen to paper, you know. And before it was just kind of like, oh, it would be so nice. Wouldn't it be nice to write a book?
Take the box,
you know,
nice to have.
Exactly. It's just a nice thing to have accomplished, you know. But this now became serious. I began to think about what I would write, So I made du'a about it and I just kept talking to Allah about it in that Ramadan. And then a couple of months later, I was scrolling through my messages on Instagram and I was checking the request folder and I came across a message from a woman and I read it. And honestly, I know I said this story so many times, I thought it was a scam. I thought someone trying to play me for something. But I responded, and normally with such messages, I just delete. I don't even open them. I just delete. But I opened this one and I replied and I said, "Okay, can you email me? Sounds interesting. Can you email me?" And she did pretty much straight away. And then I checked when I got the email, I checked her email address and it was a legit email.
Legit. Address. That's important because you know when you get those ones where it's like, some nonsense set of numbers and everything, they say they're from Facebook and it's like no
exactly. When I saw that it was a legit email address, my heart stopped, and the message that she had sent was, you know, I'm a publisher from, you know, Penguin Random House, and we were wondering if you would be interested in writing a book for us. And I just thought this had come 2 months after I had been making serious du'a that Allah would, you know, bless me with the opportunity to write a book, write and publish a book before I leave this world. And, you know, here I was receiving this message. And then, you know, cut a long story short, obviously I had 1,000 questions for her and how did she find me? And she seemed to know everything about me and my life. And then, she said that she wanted me to write a book ahead of Ramadan 2023, connected to Ramadan in some way, but that was it. She left the rest to me. And then it was a very, very, a very personal kind of journey thereafter. I obviously had to send over a synopsis, I had to put together a plan. I had a week to do so. I had absolutely no idea. You know, I was actually really worried that I wouldn't be able to do this.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember speaking to Naima, right. Naima was one of the first people that I spoke to about this. So the world, you know, didn't know anything. And I spoke to Naima and I immediately thought, okay, I need to speak to Naima because, you know, mashallah, her level of experience, her skills, and just I knew that she would be the best person to guide me on this process. And I'm sure I remember telling you that, oh my gosh, I don't think I'm the right person for this. And there was just so many ifs and buts.
Okay, I just while you say that, guys, I just need everybody who's listening, who's watching, to hear that. Okay, when those fears come up, that imposter syndrome, that self-doubt, that who am I to do this? Don't think it's because of your particular level. I've said this before and I'll say it again. At every level, there is a touch of self-doubt. Sometimes that touch of self-doubt looms large. Sometimes it shrinks into the corner. But for most people, there is that question of, well, can I even do this? Am I even the right person to do this? Including Alia, mashallah, Umrayan, who you wouldn't think would think like that. But here you go. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. That's really powerful for the sisters to know.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I always do share this part of the story, you know, wherever I speak, because, you know, mashallah, people, you know, see the success of the book. And that's obviously from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, the fact that it's become a bestseller. But it started off with a writer who didn't think she could do it.
Yeah.
And then there were things that I had to do. I had to work on myself, which led to, you know, the book being completed and so on. So it's important for us to share these stories because they're real, they're normal. You know, you will go through it, you know. You know, I'm writing again at the moment and I'm going through it again. I'm thinking, oh, well, you know, second book. You know, what if it's, you know, what if it's this? But I know these thoughts now. I know this type of thinking and I know how to address it. But it's important for everyone to know that these thoughts and feelings are very real, are very normal. But it's what you do with them that makes the difference. Because if you succumb to them, had I succumbed to the thought that I wasn't a good enough writer, that they had got it wrong, that I was going to write a rubbish book, Ramadan Reflections wouldn't be here. So that's very, very important. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's the story. That's the story behind Ramadan Reflections.
And just let's blow some minds here, shall we? How long did it take you to... Oh, no, hold on. How long did the publisher give you to write the first draft?
So the publisher sent that first message on Instagram at the end of July. And then I sent the synopsis in August. I sent the synopsis at the beginning of August. And then they took it to the acquisition meeting. So by the time all of that had been done and they had come back and they had said, yes, okay, we want to go forward with this particular idea for the book, I had a month to write my first draft.
So we may have missed that. Sorry. So what did you say? How long did you have to write the draft?
1 month. 1 month.
Alhamdulillah. And did you think that you could manage that?
No. I went into panic mode. I literally I remember when the terms for the contract came through and, you know, we knew that it was going, you know, it was going to ahead to contract. I just thought, I even said to the publisher, how is this even possible? She said, well, it is rare, but it's not impossible. It has been done before. And I said, but do you know how busy I am?
Do you know me, by the way?
You know, and Naima, you know me. You know how crazy busy my role is at Solace. And I said, and she said, well, it is possible. And I just had to sit down. I literally sat down and I looked at my life. Right. My role at Solace. I home educate my children, cooking, cleaning, washing, shopping. You know, I literally had to break everything down. Okay, that's going to have to go out of the window this month. That I'm going to have literally minimal expectations in regards to cooking. It's going to be, you know, very basic stuff. You know, okay, this person can help me with my youngest child, you know, in terms of, you know, some drop-offs. I have to enlist the help of my eldest daughter. You know, I had to go back to my work, you know, my colleagues at work and say, right, we're going to have to put this on hold or I'm going to need you to take on this, delegate. And I had to do that and create space. And then I had to really look at, okay, how am I going to maximize on the 1 month that I have? And I realized that I don't write well at home. I just don't. I sit down at my desk at home. I will procrastinate. I will look at the laundry basket. I will look at the floor that needs sweeping. I'll have, you know, my children, you know, asking me all sorts of things. And what would normally have been a writing hour you know, I'll probably end up writing maybe two lines. But if I take myself out of this environment, for some reason that worked for me. So that meant that I had to decide, okay, this amount of time in the library or this amount of time in a coffee shop. And majority of Ramadan Reflections actually was written outside. And that's what worked for me. So it was literally just sitting down and thinking, right, 1 month, I've only got 1 month. I need to be serious about this. What needs to change? What do I need to implement in that month?
MashaAllah, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah, as the sisters are saying, you know, really inspiring, crazy inspiring. And I think, just as you said, that there are shifts that need to be made when your goal becomes non-negotiable, right? And so there are lifestyle shifts, as you had to make, but then there are also mental shifts, aren't there? And there's a lot of mental clearing out of the way that you must do right at the start to avoid sabotaging yourself. Can you talk to us a bit about that?
Yeah. I went to a friend of mine. I remember this was after I had submitted. No, sorry. This was prior to creating the plan of the book for the book. And I said to her, I honestly think they've got the wrong person. Really, I don't think I can do this. And I was really like panicking and you know, the anxiety had taken over, and that's not the type of person that I am. You know, when I have a project, I'm very much a doer, and I believe in Allah's power to turn a very simple idea into something wonderful. I really very much believe in that, and I've seen that, you know, happen in my life and the lives of others, alhamdulillah. So why was I now like literally sweating and, you know, and struggling with this? And I said that to her. She said to me, Alia, why do you want to do this? She said, why do you want to do this? And I said, because I want to bring hearts and souls back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want this to stand for me, you know, on the day where I need it most. And she said, okay. Take the fact that it's Penguin out of the picture. She said, because you're panicking because it's like a big publisher. You're just focusing on the fact that it's Penguin. She said, take them out of the picture. She said, who is this about? I said, this is for Allah. This is for Allah. She said, focus on that. And it was such simple advice. But as soon as she said that, there was a shift. And it just began to flow. You know, everything began to flow, mashallah. So I as soon as I took Penguin out of the picture and made it, and it is all about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is for him, and focused upon that, then I began to smile as I was writing. You know, I began to dream as I was writing. I began to connect it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as I was writing, and I actually enjoyed it. But as soon as I focused on Penguin, it was just like a block.
100%. I absolutely love that. And this is something that, you know, those in our programs will have heard me say, and I'm sure you can relate to this. We don't put our ego in front of us when we do this work. And once you remove your ego, and I would say that, you know, the ego is concerned with the outward, right? The appearance of things, you know, the publisher, the editor, the critics, the readers even, right? And of course, ourselves. Once we remove ourselves from the work, we allow Allah's message to come through us. We allow ourselves to be a conduit for what it is that, whatever it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bring forth as a result of this, we allow it to happen. And it literally is, like you said, mashallah, just it's releasing. Because even with your book, you guys have heard me say this, you have everything inside you, whether it's your ideas, your experiences, your stories, your thoughts, your reflections. Most of you are writing books where everything's here. Everything is here, right? And the trick is, the work is to clear the way so that you can release that. That's why the program is called Release, right? So I love your take on that. I love the way that you were able to fix that intention, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so merciful to, once you had fixed that intention, just to make it easy, just to, allow it to flow out of you, mashallah.
There was one other instance, if you don't mind me sharing, I think this might help the sisters as well. It was past mid September, so I only had half a month left, and right at the beginning, I thought I knew that there would be 30 chapters, one for each day of Ramadan. You know, that's the way that I kind of structured the book. And so in my mind, right at the beginning, I thought, okay, one chapter a day, I'll write one chapter a day. Come 15th of September, I was nowhere near 15 chapters, right? So I had fallen behind. And then obviously I began to panic and I was exhausted. I was so tired. And, you know, but to have this deadline, you know, kind of looming over me was, it felt heavy, but I knew, now I know it was necessary. And actually I know that it's subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows me so well that he knows that if had I not had that deadline, there's no way that this book would have come about. Honestly, I would have been, I would have procrastinated. But anyway, so I had this deadline and I hadn't written the 15 chapters. I was exhausted. I don't know if I was on my menses. I don't know what was going on, but I broke down. And I broke down in front of my children. I broke down crying and I just said, I'm so behind and I can't do this. I just can't do this. And I think I'm not sure if I mentioned this story in the book, but my eldest, my daughter, who's 19, she said, she literally took hold of my shoulders and she looked me in the eyes and she said, you raised me telling me that I can never use the words I can't. And she said, Ummi, you can do this. Go and put on your hijab, take your laptop and go to the coffee shop. And in that moment, I became a little girl and was like, you're right, you know, and I did, you know, and you know, she remembers this because when she was little and she was memorizing Quran, you know, there was a moment where she said to me, she was like, I think 3 or 4, I can't even remember. She said, Mummy, I can't do this. I can't, it's too difficult, you know? I remember this and she remembers this. I said to her, you have Allah. So with Allah, everything is possible. And I never want to hear you say the words I can't again. And to this day, she's 19, she can't use the words I can't. It's like impossible. So for her to hear me, to see me cry, to break down, to, you know, and then to you to hear these words from her own mother, she was like, no. And that's what I needed to hear. And this, and the thing is that I'm mentioning this story to you sisters because there will be moments where you'll say, I can't, it's not possible. You know, you'll find 101 reasons why you can't, but then there's one reason why you can that overrides all of them. And that is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you and is your aid, then He will make the impossible possible. He will bring you everything you need. In my last week of September, and I was seriously behind. My last week of writing before my deadline, a very dear friend of mine, and I acknowledge this in the acknowledgements in the book, she cooked for me for the entire week. She cooked for me and my family for the entire week. I didn't ask her. She offered. And she gave me that respite so that I could just write. You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings you everything you need, and He will, but you just need to focus on your sincere intention. You need to focus on the fact that He will bring you everything you need to make what seems impossible possible and leave the rest to Him, you know? So I wanted to mention that story because you need to also take the words I can't out of your you know, mindset and your vocabulary, because you can. Everything literally is possible. Whenever you say I can't, ask yourself, is this true? Because it is. There are reasons why it will, you know, there are reasons why it can never be true, if that makes sense. So yeah,
I absolutely love that, mashallah. I love that. So I want to, you've been really open with us and really honest with us. And I'm just going to, I want to just take that into the process a little bit more. I know that you didn't have a lot of time between finishing the draft and then, of course, all the launch activity, right? So before we go into the launch activity, actually, just for the sake of those who are in the programs, did you find any of the Amplify information useful at all?
So, okay. So I, for me, the way that I work is that whenever I have a project, I plan it from beginning to end, right at the beginning, mm-hmm. right from the beginning. So that's just how I, that's how I work, right? That's how I operate. So when I knew that, okay, I'm going to write this book, I didn't just think about writing the book. Mm. I thought about marketing the book. I thought about the book launch. I thought about the readers, you know, I right up until the end, you know. So obviously I came to my dear friend Naima and I asked her, right, I need your help, I need your guidance. And then mashallah tabarakallah, may Allah reward you greatly, Naima. You know, you were so generous with everything that you shared with me. And I can honestly say that the Amplify program was on, I don't even know how to describe it. I'm actually speechless. It's amazing, absolutely phenomenal. I learned so much. I applied as pretty much think about 80% of your program. Some of it, obviously, you know, Penguin took care of, but 80, if not more, percent of your program, I applied, mashallah. And Penguin turned around to me and said, you are a publisher's dream. They said that. You are a publisher's dream because I worked so hard in marketing the book. And there's one thing that Naima said, and I can't remember, forgive me if you said this to me privately or if you said it in the actual Amplify program, where you said, if you want your book to reach as many people as possible, or you want your book to be successful, do not rely on the marketing efforts of the publisher. I can't remember if it was in the program or you said it to me privately. Yeah. But I took that and I was like, right, I'm holding on to that. Because for me, I wanted this book. I wanted this book to touch hearts. I wanted it to reach, you know, millions. And I still have that intention, you know. And, you know, may Allah make it possible. I mean, you know. But the Amplify program, I believe every author should take this program. I cannot, like, I'm going to be going back to it repeatedly. I want to shout, you know, I want to shout out about this to everyone because it made me understand why marketing is important, how to do it. It was like a clear blueprint. Literally, all you have to do is sit through this program with a separate notebook, take notes and put it to practice. And you see the results coming through almost straight away. And I believe, honestly, and Allah knows best, you know, because, you know, he is the only one that knows the unseen. But I truly believe that the Amplify program was the biggest reason why this book became a Sunday Times bestseller. That's my honest assessment.
Wow. Sis, are you serious?
Serious. I'm serious. Because I know, you see, I know that I know the numbers, the pre-order numbers, right? I asked the publisher to send me a weekly update. You see, I'm very particular about how I do things.
Yes, guys, she is. Like, she gives them like a hard time. She's like, no, I need to understand this. Yeah. I want to know what's happening here. Yeah. Like, no, mashallah.
And I think it did because they didn't know. They, you know, at the end, you know, after Ramadan had passed, I said to them, did you expect this? Did you expect it to be, you know, successful in this way? And they said, no, we were quite, you know, not in this way, you know, not to that kind of level. And they said, you know, you are a publisher's dream. And what they meant by that is that the marketing that I put into it, the way that I marketed the book, the way that I did my best to drive pre-orders really made a difference, because then come publication date, the numbers were just, you know, huge, mashallah.
Well, I'm telling y'all believe me, yeah?
So, yeah,
it's not just kalam, okay? It's true, mashallah, this stuff works.
Yes.
And what I love, Alia, is, and I think this is really important, especially for those who are watching or listening who have access to Amplify, right? Because we bolt it onto our programs, but who maybe watch a couple of videos here and there, you know, who maybe dabble a little bit. It doesn't work if you do that. It does not work nearly as well as if you do what Alia said, which was literally watch the whole thing, take notes, tell us what this is. I love that you took action on this, and alhamdulillah for the results. Tell us about this notebook.
This is my notebook. This is the notebook that I used. And, you know, I'm just going to do a quick, this was a notebook I used to plan my marketing. It's full.
Wow.
It's the notebook that I use to take notes from the Amplify program. So it's literally divided in all the areas. It's full. It's complete. This was just the Amplify program, and you know, everything, all the steps that I needed to take as a result of that. And then I transferred that to a spreadsheet, you know, and I had, you know, everything I had to do each week leading up to publication date, post publication date. Honestly, Naima, may Allah bless you. The Amplify program was just, it was a blessing, a true blessing.
Alhamdulillah. And didn't your publisher win an award for their marketing? Tell us about that.
So here's the thing, right? And, you know, I don't stuff a lot. I don't want to knock anyone, but the marketing team, there was a lady that was kind of heading up the marketing campaign right at the beginning, and then she actually left her job for whatever reason, and then they brought in someone new literally I think a week before publication. And this person was responsible for going over my spreadsheet that I had created as a result of the Amplify program,
right,
and sending off copies of books to influencers,
and
then maybe a few other things. That's pretty much all she did in the background. She won an award.
She won the award, not the one who was there before.
No, she won the award because, you know, come publication date, she was behind, right? She was, and you know, and I was happy for her because she's actually a really lovely person. You know, she's really nice. And but then I thought to myself, when I was looking at this, I thought, you know what? Subhanallah, two things. I know the amount of effort I put into this. As a result of the Amplify program. So I just thought,
you should have won the award, actually.
I think maybe you should have, Naima, you know. But
we'll take it together. Alhamdulillah, may Allah give us the reward, Yawm al-Qiyamah. I was curious about the title of that award, and I think this is significant for everybody who's watching and listening. What was the actual title of the award that she won?
So correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just checking my messages. I sent you a screenshot, didn't I?
Yes, I remember.
Audience development, I think.
Yes.
Was that it? Just double checking to be sure. Yes, audience development. Yeah.
Now, I want people to understand what that means. Audience development, she won an award for audience development, right? Which means that the publisher has previously not achieved this level of success in this audience, right? This audience is a Muslim audience, okay? I don't think Penguin has, I mean, none of the publishers really have, let me put it this way, mainstream Muslim bestsellers, okay? Meaning the kind of books that Muslims like to buy, right? Historically, they haven't really been publishing those types of books. Mm-hmm. They'll publish books by Muslims, but often they are for a non-Muslim audience, right? This is, I think, maybe Penguin's first book. Obviously, From My Sister's Lips was a long time ago, it was also under Random House. But this is an Islamic book. this very is an Islamic book. Right? Yeah. So what they recognized is that through this book, we have now developed a readership in a new market, in a new community. And what that means, and mashallah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just sincerely, Alia, to reward you for opening this door and for obviously doing the work to bless the people with what Allah wants, you know, them to have from the book, but also for being a trailblazer in this area, in the publishing side, because inshallah, you will write more books and they will do well. But because you wrote an amazing book and because you put in the work, mashallah, to get this book out into the community, you have proven to the publisher that our voices and our stories and our concerns are profitable. And I'm going to put it that way.
And let me just say something on that. At one of my events in Ramadan, I think it was a Light Upon Light event, I had a sister come up to me and she was so excited. She was, you know, jumping up and down and, you know, and she said, oh, I can't believe this. You know, she said, because of Ramadan Reflections, I'm putting out a book with Penguin Random House, right? See? Next year. See?
Mashallah.
So you know, it's opening up, you know, hers is it's a very different type of book. It's kind of like a planner. But it's opening up, it's opening up doors. And I'm alhamdulillah. And I think, you know, one thing that you've taught me, Naima. I don't want to get emotional. Oh my gosh, I think I need to get a glass of water in a minute. I don't want to get emotional. But one thing that you've taught me through the support that you've given me, and you've given me and to this book, is that we need to think beyond our books. We need to look at opening avenues for other Muslim women. You know, and you did that through the support that you gave me, and you're doing that, you know, mashallah tabarakallah, you're an established author, award-winning author, and you're doing that for your sisters, you know, you're doing that for all of us. And we also need to do that for others, you know. So alhamdulillah, may Allah reward you. I'm just gonna grab a glass of water.
please, it's Fadali. I think I'm sure you guys have got a lot, you know, taken away a lot from our conversation so far. But I think it's worth reminding everybody that every one of us is 2, 5, 10 steps ahead of the other sister, right? Another sister, okay? And you have already, just from the fact that you're here, that you are working on your book, that you've come this far, wherever you are in the process, you are 2, 5, 10 steps ahead of another sister. I can't write every book. I can't work with every publisher. I can't speak on every topic. But me personally, can I be a part of the journeys of those who go ahead and do that? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so for me, and I think for everybody here, Alia included, obviously you can hear that, mashallah, just in her efforts, she's also paying it forward. She's also opening doors and breaking down new doors and just opening up and showing what's possible, not just to the sisters, but also to the publishers. And I say, you know, that that what she did prove to publishers that our books are profitable. I use that word specifically, not that our books are important or that they matter or that they should be given a voice, etc., which they should. But I'm sure I've made it very clear to everybody who's worked with me and who's been working with me, publishers are a for-profit organization. They are for-profit companies. They want to know that your book can sell. That's why majority of people do not get publishing deals, because the publisher is not convinced that they can make this book work financially, right? Now, alhamdulillah, because of the success of Alia's book, the publisher now has more information about the Muslim and the Islamic book market, about the reading habits of Muslims, about what is possible within the Muslim space, right? So for sure, I expect not just Penguin Random House, to publish more of these types of books. But as these books continue to do well, other publishers are also going to want a piece of that. And they are also going to be opening their doors, keeping an eye out for potential bestsellers for their own lists, right? So it's a value proposition, mashallah. So alhamdulillah that, you know, we've been able to support each other as sisters. And you guys, I always tell you this, you are the network of the future. Those of you who are in programs together, everybody who's here watching, who's listening, who's learning, follow each other on Instagram. Follow Alia Umrayan on Instagram. If you're not following me, follow me. Follow our writers. Follow each other and support each other when you have your book launches, when you start to come out with these amazing things that you've been working on, because you never know how you can help another sister writer and how that sister can help you. Alia and I have known each other for decades, pretty much. We didn't used to talk books. We talked a lot of other things, mashallah. But alhamdulillah, when she needed help with her book, she knew that she could come to me, and I'm going to give her what, you know, I'm going to tell her what I know. I'm going to help her in any way that I can, right? And you guys can do the same. Those of you who've been through Amplify, you know everything that Sister Alia knows, right? So you know another sister who is, you know, doing a book launch, and maybe she's not in Amplify, maybe she's not in our program. You could be a source of help and guidance for her as well, right? And just all the coaching that we have, the reminders that we have, these are all parts now of your backpack. These are skills you have. These are capabilities you have, right? I've passed whatever I've passed on to you. You've learned whatever you've learned along the journey. And now, mashallah, you get to share that with other people as well. And it's such a privilege. And like I said, we can't write every book. We can't address every topic. But can we get the barakah of tens, if not hundreds, more books than just our own? We absolutely can, mashallah. So that, for me, is a very exciting prospect. I absolutely love it. And Alia, if you want to come back on video, inshallah, we can just give everybody the final lowdown on the book and maybe whatever might be coming up. And then we can close out, because I think it's been an absolutely wonderful, wonderful session. And I'm just so pleased that you were able to join us on this Saturday morning, mashallah. And really just bless our community with, you know, your honesty and, you know, with your takeaways and just the inspiration, mashallah. It's so, so valuable.
Alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair. So closing kind of thoughts.
Before you do, sure. I have a question.
Sure.
Because I know that you guys all heard the amount of work that you put in to market the book, right? Yeah. And you also heard the other things that you have on your plate. Okay. So I have a question for you. Two questions. Looking back on the pre-launch and the launch and the post-launch, was it tough?
What, in terms of what I had to do?
Was it tough for you? Yeah, was it hard?
It took up my time, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It did. I had to put in the effort. I had to put in the time. Absolutely.
Were you exhausted by the end of it?
Yes.
Okay, so that's where I wanted to get to. So it was an exhausting process by the end of it, because she did a lot, guys. If you saw, my girl was up and down the country, and you know already Sister Alia, mashallah, she has a fantastic network. So obviously her amplification may not look like yours, but you put in the work, alhamdulillah, by Allah's grace, you saw the result. By the end of it, I think you were pooped, right? You were like...
I'm still not back to normal.
Okay.
And we're now 6th of June. Well, no, what? No, 6th, 10th of 11th of June. I'm still not back to normal. And, okay, you know, Eid was what, April? So that shows you, yeah, I.
So my last question is, do you feel that it was worth it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I as I said, I'm still not back to normal. I really did burn out. But I knew that I, in order for this book to reach as many people as possible, I had to like just push through, you know, really and truly. And I did. I crashed at the end of it. I'm not going to lie. I crashed quite badly. Was it worth it? Yes, because the messages that still continue to pour in, that this book changed their life, that it changed their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, a sister who hadn't spoken to a relative for over 20 years, and as a result of reading the chapter on forgiving others, established contact again. You know, lots and lots of stories, non-Muslims that read my book that, you know, became Muslim as a result of reading the book. You know, this, how can it not be, how can it not be worth it? Absolutely. And, you know, subhanAllah, the way that I see things is that we will always be tired with something. Something will always make us feel tired. So choose those things that will lead you to rest well in the akhirah. Choose those things that will make you tired in the dunya that will lead you to rest well in the akhirah. Because you're going to be tired by something, but be tired by something that's beneficial and extremely rewardable by Allah. So that's the way that I approach life. Touch.
That's a mic drop right there. We are going to chop that. We're going to make a reel. We're going to make a post. That is a word, as they say, mashallah, tabarakallah. Sister Alia Umrayan, we love you. We're proud of you. We celebrate your achievement, and we appreciate you sharing of yourself in this way, not just with us here today, but in the book, because that book is a piece of you. Right. Mm-hmm. That book was probably many pieces of you. I've read the book, so I know. Yeah. You've put that into the world. I ask Allah to bless it, for Allah to allow it to continue. Guys, remember the visualization that we do in the program? Mm-hmm. Remember when we close our eyes and we imagine the book going out into the world to people that we've never seen, to places that we've never been, and the ching, ching, ching of the reward, remember? And that reward being multiplied, you change one woman's life, it transforms her family. You change that family, you have shifted generational, all sorts of patterns, and that's just one family, and another, and another, and another, and another. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that the reality for this book and all the other books to follow, inshallah. And may they be a proof for you on Yawm al-Qiyamah, 100%. Thank you so much for being with us today, for inspiring us, for motivating us. And guys, you know what the assignment is. Y'all need to buy extra copies of Ramadan Reflections so that you can give them out as gifts in good time before next Ramadan. And we look forward to your next book, sis. Jazakumallah
khair. Thank you very much for inviting me on. Jazakallah khair.
Thank you, everyone. Until next week, inshallah, make sure that you follow Sister Alia Umrayan on Instagram, and make sure that this feeling that you have allows you to go back to your writing project, renew your intention, rediscover your why, and do the thing you need to do, whatever that is. And I will see you, inshallah, next week. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.